Luckily, those we recognize today don't feel that way. There's something that I've said to every person who has joined any of the congregations I've ever served. Two things, actually. First, I say, congratulations. Congratulations because you have joined a really cool church. And I only serve cool churches, so I can say that to every person who's ever joined. The second thing I say is, thank you. Thank you because having joined, you made it cooler still. Thank you. Congratulations. With all due respect to Mr. Thoreau, belonging is a good thing. It's also a necessary thing, actually. Carol Gilligan, the feminist psychologist who first earned notice from her challenge to the developmental theories of Lawrence Tolbert, argued that the development of identity does not, as prevailing theories even still have it, come from a process of individuation, of separating ourselves from others. Rather, Dr. Gilligan and others assert that we build our identity through relationship. In relationship. My friend Takeo Uchikura has told me that this understanding is actually built into the language, the Japanese language. Takeo said that in Japanese, there is no first-person singular pronoun. There is no way to say I. Or, more accurately, there's no one way to say I. There are eight. Because, in a very real way, I am different when I'm with my friends than when I'm with my parents or with my child. I am different depending on who I'm with. So who I am depends on who I'm with. There is a blessing in belonging. An affirmational gift of who we are is given when we belong. Belonging helps to make us who we are. And so when someone takes the step of formalizing their relationship with our congregation or any other group, really, we are saying something about who we are and who we want to be. And as we change our relationship with that community, what we can say about who we are changes too. Now, last week, we celebrated this beautiful planet on which and as a part of which we live. And we lifted up those who are committed to her health. Yesterday, as you heard, a number of us joined with UU congregations, something like five or six different UU congregations, to talk about the spiritual resources needed for doing anti-racism work. At the beginning of this service, I highlighted the work of our emotional wellness ministry, and in a moment I'm going to steer the sermon towards the topics of addiction treatment and elder care. Ours is a congregation that's involved in working for justice in a whole lot of areas. And many of us have no doubt looked at all there is to do in this world and wish that we could resign from the human race. I know that I have. Stop the world. I'm going to get on. A few weeks back at Impact's pre-action rally, the Reverend Brenda Brown Grooms offered the reflection. And one of the things that Pastor Brenda used as part of the scaffolding for her talk was actually something that had been said by a Unitarian. The Unitarian preacher, Edward Everett Hale, whose picture hangs in the scarab just outside, and you've got to check it out, because man, talk about whiskers. What he said is something that I've said here so often and that others before me have said here so often that no doubt some of you could say it with me. I am only one, but still I am one. I cannot do everything, but still I can do something. And because I cannot part of the tapestry that Pastor Brenda wove that night. I can't do everything, but I can do something, and I really ought to do that something. But then she added this really nice touch. But oh, she said, how much sweeter it is when we do that thing together. And that's right, isn't it? How much sweeter when we can do that thing together. Now, one of my heroes, and a friend of my mom's actually, the woefully under-celebrated Reverend Dr. Pauli Murray, liked to say that one person plus one typewriter equals a movement. And there's truth to that. Dated truth. For some of you, a typewriter was a word processor. This is connected to it. There's truth in that. One person, one typewriter, a movement. And yet, isn't it better when we're not alone? If we're writing and marching and teaching and working for justice together with others. There is a blessing and an affirmational gift in belonging to community, working together for common cause. Now, in two nights, on Tuesday, May 3rd, the largest public gathering in the Charlottesville area of any kind, and the largest interfaith gathering in Central Virginia, will take place at the Martin Luther King Jr. Performing Arts Center. Doors open at 6 o'clock, by the way. Roughly 2,000 people from 27 faith communities will join together to experience and to be the blessing that comes from belonging. Quakers, Baptists of various kinds, Roman Catholics, Jews, Methodists, Muslims, Lutherans, folks from the United Church of Christ, Episcopalians, non-denominational Christians, Presbyterians, Pentecostalists, and us. Folks who might otherwise not come together for any other reason but for our belief in justice. There is most definitely a blessing in that coming together. A blessing for each and all of us who create this faith community of faith communities that we create once a year. And through that blessing, that affirmational gift, we are able to be a blessing to the larger community. The blessing, the gift for us, is the affirmation that together we can do great things. And that the distinctions that so often divide us are nowhere near as important as the things that unite us. The blessing for the wider community is the affirmation that the struggles any of us face are struggles all of us must face. And that no one will be left out of the beloved community we strive to create. This year, Impact has been continuing the work begun last year to create a local residential treatment option for women struggling with addiction to alcohol and drugs. Last year, this was an identifiable need, an aching need. Yet it just didn't seem possible that the will for this solution existed among those with the power to make something like this come about. By joining ourselves one to another at last year's Nehemiah Action, there are now plans, commitments, and the cash needed to build and operate a local center that should break ground this fall and be up and operating by the summer of 2017. Serving up to you're going to have to do that again in a second. Serving up to 20 women a year without the need for them to Each year, a new theme is discerned through a process involving listening circles in each of those member communities, with the ideas and concerns that are named in each being sifted and weighed until one rises to the top. This year, it's the out-of-control cost for long-term care for elders that became our focus, a cost that averages 1.5 times the average annual income of the people who need those services. But that's unconscionable. Unbelievably, though, none of the agencies that are working to provide help to elders can say specifically the extent of that need. None knows how many people are in need of those services yet unable to access them. It's clear that there's a problem. And it's clear that there are some extraordinarily caring and committed people working to address this problem, yet maybe in part because they are working so hard to address the problem, none of them know exactly how large the problem is. So IMPACT, which is, after all, us and those other faith communities working together, is proposing the creation of an entity to study the depth and the breadth of the unmet need. This seems to me that it would be of tremendous benefit to those who are already part of work, and would provide a first step in developing new and creative ways of ensuring that all of the elders in the Charlottesville-Albemarle area can access the assistance that they need. Important stuff, right? So why do the folks in our congregation who are most involved with the Justice Ministry of Impact, and I'm looking at you, Sarah Peasley, try so hard to get you to turn out for the Nehemiah Action on Tuesday, this Tuesday, May 3rd, at the MLK Performing Arts Center, with the doors opening at 6 o'clock. Simply because there is a blessing in belonging to a great assembly gathered to see that the good prevails. It's not much to ask one evening of our time into those women, their children, their partners, their friends, all those whose lives will be immeasurably improved because of this treatment center. Well, the importance cannot be overstated. Now, I could decide to stay home, thinking that my presence in one of those seats really doesn't matter much because there are going to be so many other people showing up. But aren't we hearing a lot these days about how wrong and potentially seriously problematic that kind of thinking is? Each of us needs to show up at the polls, and each of us needs to show up at the Nehemiah Action. See, others have already done all the heavy lifting. Our presence, yours, mine, our presence, this Tuesday, May 3rd, at the MLK Performing Arts Center, with the doors opening at 6 o'clock, is our declaration that we have not resigned our membership in the human race. That we do formalize our membership with those whose voices often go unheard and whose needs are so often, all too often, unseen. During the offering, we'll have someone passing out tickets to those of you who are feeling both inspired and are able to come to the action. If you get a ticket, please swing by the Impact table in the social hall after the service so that they can know to expect you at